It's lovely to see you all today, and on this last Sunday of Advent. Who can believe that? I can't. This year has flown by. I'd like to welcome any visitors to us today. You're very welcome, and we see that Peter's mum, Pat, is with us again. It's now lovely to have you with us again, Pat, and we hope that you have a lovely time with family over Christmas. I don't think we have any, well, no, we do have a birthday, but she's Jean Lewis on Boxing Day, but she's gone. Oh.
It's Leora's birthday today.
It's Leora's birthday today.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I can't see her. Where is she? Is she 13 today?
She's 13 today.
Yeah, because she's the same age as Bethany. Wow.
Yeah.
Leora's. I remember when you brought her to the Christmas Day when she'd just been born. Yes, 13. Yes. Well, give her our warmest wishes, won't you, Nick? That's lovely. We have a card here from Lorraine. A lovely card, actually. It says on the front, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you rely on him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And there's a lovely dove on the front. And she says, "Everyone at Bethlehem, thanks for everyone for your help, encouragement, and support. Wishing you peace and joy this Christmas. And may 2026 be filled with love, hope, and blessings. Much Christian love, Lorraine." Okay, our call to worship this morning is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Amen. And we'll start our carol service this morning by singing a well-known Christmas carol, "O Come, All Ye Faithful."
Come, oh come ye to Bethlehem.
last verse on Christmas Day, of course. I must apologise because I welcomed Peter's mom, but I didn't welcome Peter, which is terrible. So, welcome Peter, who will be bringing us God's word later in the service. I knew there was something I'd missed out. Now, before we light our Advent candles, I'd just like to say a little something about Hanukkah, because as you all know, because of the terrible things that happened in Sydney last week, it's the festival of Hanukkah this week, 8 days, that Jews all over the world celebrate by lighting candles, just as we light our Advent candles. And of course, this year, the celebrations have been overshadowed by what happened last weekend. And I think it's brought everyone's attention to that celebration. As we've said before here, Hanukkah celebrates the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem in the 2nd century BC. Antiochus IV Epiphanes made rules that Jewish people could not celebrate the Sabbath, they couldn't study the Bible, their Bible, and they desecrated the temple. So the Maccabees, a family of priestly leaders, rose up in a revolt that reclaimed Jerusalem and rededicated the temple. And when they cleaned up the temple, they found one little tiny jar of oil, just enough for one day. So they lit the oil, but miraculously, that oil lasted for 8 days, which is why they celebrate 8 days of Hanukkah. So tonight is the eighth night, and all over the world, people will light 8 candles and put their lights in the window. And we think about that because Jewish people all over the world are now suffering rising anti-Semitism, as we know. But the Hanukkah story still speaks to us today. God's people, including Christians, must be allowed to worship openly and without fear. The candles are intentionally placed in the window for all to see. The light is for the house, yes, but also for the street. Hanukkah's calling is not secrecy, but visibility. Where anti-Semitism says, hide who you are, Hanukkah says, rededicate who you are to the Lord and let your light shine for all to see. And we are going to let our light shine now, our Advent candles, and we'll have the reading, and Harrison has kindly offered, well, no, I asked him. But Mary's bought a new clicker, so it should work. So if we can have the readings. Today is called Advent 4, with love from God. And you reply the words in bold. Gift-giving God, may Advent be for us a time of giving and receiving. Holy God, as Advent draws to a close, your gospel shines all the more brightly with messages of hope and promise, of love and care, of gifts already given and gifts for the present and for the future. Gift-giving God, may Advent be for us a time of giving and receiving. Holy God, remind us afresh of the angels' appearances, of the sparkle and shine that their words and their messages add to our everyday lives. May we be able to offer their messages and gifts of love, with love, compassion, and care. Gift-giving God, may Advent be for us a time of giving and receiving. Holy God, sharing your love is work that is often hard. But when we sit back and look at what a difference we've made, we rejoice that we are made with love and live to love in your name. Gift-giving God, may Advent be for us a time of giving and receiving. And we'll now sing four verses of our Advent song. You may remain seated for this. Let us pray. As Christmas draws near, we gather to worship and to join with others throughout the centuries and around the world in saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, be with us." We praise you, Almighty God, for walking with us through Advent. We praise and thank you that you have guided us and shown us the way, that you have revealed yourself in the expected and the unexpected, that we have glimpsed hope in desperate times, that in death there is life, where there is loss, there is gain, that tears of sadness can be transformed to tears of joy. We praise you for the greatness of your transforming power. And as we wait for Christmas Day, we say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Father, we confess that we have allowed the most important event in history to become dulled by familiarity. Even the carols that we sing are so familiar to us that we scarcely notice the beauty of their words or take in their meaning. We confess to a selfish enjoyment of Christmas and all it brings, presents, foods, food, parties, family gatherings, decorations, etc., and are in danger of forgetting the true message. Open our hearts and minds afresh to the wonder of it all, and remind us of the difference between knowing the story and knowing the one that the story is about. We thank you that you loved the world so much that you gave your only son, who did not remain a baby in a manger, but grew up to become a man, died on a cross, and rose again so that we might live. Fill our hearts with the wonder of that first Christmas and help us to spread your light and love to all those we meet. Amen. And we'll have our first reading now from Nick. Thank you.
The Gospel reading today is from Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken on the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from Nazareth to Galilee and to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Like you all to come and place them in our nativity scene. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of giving and receiving. And most of all, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, our friend, our brother. And Lord, we thank you that we can receive him into our hearts by faith and put him at the centre of Christmas. And Lord, may all that is given and received be in honour of Jesus and all that he has given for us. Bless these gifts and all that are given directly. May they bring good news to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. When a baby is born, the news gets out. And it was no different in Bethlehem, but it was a rather special announcement, as we're going to hear in our second reading. And after this reading, we'll listen out for some special visitors. So, have we got Glenys and Angel, which is Harrison, and Bill? And we're going to take part, I believe, with some words as the gathered host of angels. So, watch out. I think there might be our part on the screen. Is that right? We'll see.
Luke 2, 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, all of us say this, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Come, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
We won't go until we get some. make up our mind what we're going to see. We've got loads of carols to choose from. Look, there's all these in our books. Okay, so what shall we sing then? Something that says about Jesus and Christmas.
Oh, I'm not singing that per-um-per-um-per-um one. Have you ever seen a nativity play with a drummer boy in it?
Oh, what? Well, we don't have to sing that one. It's got good sentiments, though, about us bringing to Jesus what we can bring and not worrying about what other people are bringing. There's another one somewhere.
Good Kid Wenceslas. That's got bringing in it.
Well, that's more about sharing with another person rather than what we can bring Jesus. I found it here in the bleak midwinter.
Isn't that a song about it being really, really cold?
That's just the intro. Then it goes into Jesus coming to reign and humbling himself to be born in a stable. It talks about the Virgin Mary and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, and ends with, what can I give him? I can give him my heart.
What does Jesus need my heart for?
Well, it's an expression. When you give your heart to someone, you are giving them love and loyalty and commitment.
And is this a traditional Christmas present exchange? What do I get in return?
All your sins forgiven. And a plan and a purpose for your life. And the certainty of eternity in heaven.
That does sound better than a figgy pudding.
Right, we've made up our minds then. We're going to sing In the Bleak Midwinter next.
Because it's more Jesus-y than the one about figgy pudding.
Frosty wind may blow.
Let's remain standing. Because we didn't have the words for the last verse, we'll see if we can just... No, that's no more trouble, Sue. We'll just see if we can get the words and we'll remain standing and sing the last verse just when we're ready. Is that okay? Yeah. Just a little Christmas gremlin. There we are. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Heather and Sheila. And our thanks to Mary and Diane for compiling our worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent. So that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day. So does that put it into perspective? Yeah. Do you think you'll get there? Yeah. How's your to-do list and the Christmas shopping? Have you braved the town centre and the crowds of shoppers, perhaps? It's been said that Christmas is a race to see which gives out first, your money or your feet. What is it for you, I wonder? Well, today in our carol service, in the readings we've heard, our race has been with the shepherds, hurrying to Bethlehem. And we are hurrying to Bethlehem. There's not long left. We're on our way with the shepherds. Come, let us go to Bethlehem. In June 2016, I had the great privilege of visiting Bethlehem as part of a group pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And I'm sure there's a number of our friends who have visited Bethlehem also, and perhaps more than once. And memories of those visits rise to the surface at this time of year. And I just, in my message to you today, wanted to recollect some of those memories for me and share them with you and hopefully find meaning in them. We began by making that short journey, not by little donkey, but by coach, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Crossing through that high security wall, that wall of security and separation. A quite literally concrete reminder of the division and the hostility that remains to this day. Consequences of our human sin and our desire to follow our own ways, ways of war. But today we affirm the angel's message, an eternal message, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all. How we need to hear that message in our world, in our homes, in our hearts. Yes, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he was born to break down that wall of separation and hostility between us, between one another. And at Christmas, We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in the Middle East, peace in Ukraine, peace in Eastern Africa. Peace in many places across our world. And we seek peace in our own relationships, in our own families where there may be tensions. We pray for the peace of the Lord to break in and bring reconciliation. And peace within our own heart. That is something we can control. To be able to open our own hearts and welcome the gift of peace that Jesus offers. When we arrived in Bethlehem, we travelled to the shepherd's fields. And it does sound idyllic, doesn't it? But of course, there is great urbanisation in that place today. And there in June, with the temperature above 35 degrees, we heard the story of the angels who visited the shepherds on that cooler night 2,000 years ago. And something our guide said to us that I hadn't really considered up until that point. Why shepherds? And our guide told us that these shepherds on the hillside were probably linked to the temple in nearby Jerusalem. And they tended the sheep, which were reared to provide the sacrifices at the temple. So the angel's appearance to these lowly shepherds was of great significance, because Jesus was born the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No more sacrifices needed. He came and he would fulfill those old temple rituals and establish a new connection, a new covenant with God. Jesus Christ is the one perfect sacrifice. So remember that when we hear the story. Remember that it was almost as if the shepherds were being given their redundancy notice. The shepherds remind us Christ came to the humble, the least, and the lowest. He comes to us as our Saviour. He came as the Lamb of God to take away our sins. And may we know his forgiveness in our hearts and in our homes. I'm reminded of the little girl who prayed at Christmas, the Lord's Prayer, but she got a little bit mixed up and she prayed, Lord, forgive us our Christmases, as we forgive those who Christmas against us. And that can happen, can't it, in homes where there can be tensions. And we just need that grace for those who Christmas against us. And maybe where we might be Christmasing against others, we need that forgiveness and grace in our hearts. So finally, from the shepherd's field, we went to Manger Square and made it to the Church of the Holy Nativity. It's much quieter, I'm sure, in these days of heightened conflict. But think back, and you can imagine the crowds that gathered in Manger Square at Christmas with pilgrims from all over the world, seeking to get as near as possible to his birthplace. And this was back in 2016, a busy time, but remarkably, our group were able to go straight down into the tiny grotto of the Nativity and our guide commented that this was quite unheard of. Usually it involves a hugely long wait, waiting for your turn in the queue of pilgrims. But friends, I'm reminded that we have immediate access to Jesus. We don't have to wait, and we don't keep him waiting. We can come. There is room today. There is room for everyone at the manger. No one can be left out. All can come and worship. And if you've been there, you know, down the steps you go into the grotto. Not a wooden stable, but a natural cave. No golden straw, but instead all the drapes and the marble furnishings around. And one scholar, perhaps rather unkindly, he described the scene as being hung and cluttered with all the tinsel of men's devotions. But if in your mind you can strip that away, it is still a very holy place and a place where you can encounter the living Lord as a pilgrim. And once inside, I waited for my turn to kneel down, to reach inside the space where the star is there and touch the birthplace of my Saviour and my Lord. I touched the bedrock of Christmas, and that was a privilege to be able to have that moment and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you for being the bedrock of my life, my future." And what about your pilgrimage to Bethlehem this year? We can't travel there, but we are still pilgrims on the way to Bethlehem to witness the events of our Saviour's birth. And with 4 days to go, I want to encourage you, if you're finding the journey difficult, there is still time to get to the very heart of Christmas. There is still time to kneel in worship and wonder, to see for yourself this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to you. To look beyond the glitter and the gloss, to reach out and touch the bedrock of Christmas, and to be thankful for all that has been given. Emmanuel, God with us. The one who was great, made small. The one who was powerful, made weak. The one who was rich, became poor. All because of love. And friends, that's how God visits us. As one writer put it, God is weak and powerless in the world, and that is exactly the way, the only way, in which he can be with us and help us. God is weak and powerless in the world, and that is exactly the way, the only way, in which he can be with us and help us. Words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So all too quickly, we left the grotto to make room for other pilgrims. And we left the Church of the Nativity through the same door we came in. And it's a tiny door, as you may know. It's a tiny door, which makes every pilgrim bow their heads on entering and leaving. A final lesson in humility. Those are my pilgrim reflections on Bethlehem, past and present, a place of high walls and low entrances. And Christ made the lowest entrance of them all. And to close these thoughts, a poem by a Yorkshire local preacher, Arnold Kellett, who writes of his experience of a Bethlehem pilgrimage. And this was inspired when he saw children going through that small door. To see the place where Christ was born, you have to steep so low, through tiny door and gloomy cave, the humbled pilgrims go. Then crouch to touch the silver star that marks the very place where Mary bore the unique flesh, the fount of truth and grace. The children freely enter in. No need have they to bend, but we are old in years and sin, and need to comprehend that Bethlehem leaves no place for pride. The God of starry skies has touched the earth in tender love and cut us down to size. How vain the Christmas spending spree, the over-lavish table. God works through simple souls who see a baby in a stable. Amen. So let's continue in worship as we sing our next carol, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, that glorious song of old. So we now make our prayers of intercession for the world. Let us pray. O Lord, the entrance way into Christmas is a low and narrow door, and many fail to enter. And so, Lord, help each one in these final days of Advent preparation to lay aside our baggage, our pride, our unbelief, and enter in with joy. We thank you that this wonderful story is a true story rooted in time and history, and that all of history hangs on the hinge of a stable door in Bethlehem, when BC became AD. And Lord, we would pray for those who have not heard the good news, for those who have winter but no Christmas, for those who, on this shortest day of the year, live in darkness, for those who live in the darkness of need, and though many of us have full fridges, others will be hungry or thirst for clean water and a place to shelter. And we remember, Lord, those whose lives have been cut short by terror or tragedy. And Lord, as we heard Diane, remind us of Hanukkah. Lord, we just remember in our prayers our Jewish sisters and brothers today. And may they know they are held in our thoughts and our prayers. And Lord, we would remember those who are facing health struggles, those who are bereaved, perhaps facing a first Christmas without a loved one, and others who are in need today. And Lord, we lift them up to your throne of grace and we name them in our hearts or out loud in this moment. Amen.
Father, I thank you that there has been a slight improvement in Dan and that they are able to get him up to sit in a chair for a couple of hours. He's still in intensive care and it's going to be a long road ahead. But Lord, I thank you for these small positive steps and I pray that your healing hand will be upon him and your strength will be with the whole family. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we pray for many people who are suffering with illnesses that are possibly going to end their lives. Thank you for the conversation I had with Kate yesterday, my daughter in the UK, who said about someone she knew really well who was expecting to be cured of cancer, but she died. So Lord, Father, many will be having sadness over this Christmas time for lost loved ones, and we pray for them to grieve and to recover and to know your presence in their time of need. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is better to light a small candle than complain about the darkness. And Lord Jesus, light of all lights, shine upon each one of these we have named aloud and in our hearts. Lighten our darkness and enfold us all in your loving arms this Christmas. Be at the center of our celebrations as our King and Saviour. And we ask these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who chose the manger and the cross, that we might choose your offer of life. Amen. And we'll join in saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Do you have room in your heart to hold the Christ child? We watch and listen to this Christmas song and its challenge.
Journeyed far, a weary pair. They sought for shelter from the cold night air, some place where she could lay her head, where she could give her babe a quiet bed. Was there no room, no corner there, in all the town a spot someone could spare? Was there no soul come to their aid? A stable bare was where the family stayed. Do you have room for a savior? And do you seek him anew? Have you a place for the one who lived and died for
there and back again, and ferries and flights on time. And if you'd like to sing more carols today, then you can come to Bethesda at 5 or St. Aubyn at 5. I'll be at St. Aubyn, and you'd be most welcome at any of those two services. And then we have our Christmas Eve Christingle here at 4:30, and then Christmas Day, our United Service at Bethesda. And next Sunday, and you won't know it's next Sunday because all the days get jumbled, but next Sunday we have our circuit service here, and we promise you more carols to sing again, and I will be leading that service. And we hope you can stay for refreshments after the service. And if there are any of you that I don't see between now and Christmas, I take this opportunity to wish you and your families and friends a most blessed Christmas, full of the joy, hope, love, and peace that Jesus brings for Christmas and New Year for 2026. So let's sing our final carol, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Say the words of the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and your homes, your loved ones, this Christmas and forevermore. Amen.